More than 90% of LGBTQIA plus high school students hear homophobic language in schools, with one in three saying it's an almost daily occurrence, according to a study from Western Sydney University. Just shy of 3,000 students from Catholic, state and independent schools were surveyed, expressing the alarming prevalence of slurs, and the teachers were unlikely to intervene. An amendment to the Education Bill currently before the New South Wales Parliament seeks to prevent teachers from discussing sexual and gender diversity. Jared Cross asked author of the study, Jacqueline Ullman, if this, along with the current education system, might be a contributing factor.
Look, I think these kinds of slurs are used by kids, just sort of generally speaking, as sometimes a silly, sometimes a funny, sometimes a cruel thing that kids say. The issue is, I think, perhaps less about them saying it and more about what happens when they do. So ideally what would happen is that an educator or a school-based adult would say, we don't use that kind of language here, and then give them some sort of reason as to why we don't use that kind of language. And in order to provide a reason as to why we don't use that kind of language, there'd have to be some sort of educated element of the conversation. The harms of homophobia or transphobia, potentially some of the, historical reasons that perhaps they would have referenced in class. And that level of response from an adult requires there to be a community in which these kinds of conversations are allowable, where this kind of language is used more frequently and where teachers were viewed as not intervening. Those kids had significantly lower school-based well-being than the other students in the survey who said that their teachers did intervene. Also, kids in schools where their health and physical education classes actually mentioned sexual orientation or gender diversity and talked about that as part of the formal curriculum, those students also had significantly higher school-based well-being.
To that point, as far as what's included in the curriculum is concerned, do we see disparities or consistencies between religious, whether they might be Catholic or Christian schools, and then public schools?
So I did ask that of the students, but the report as it stands right now is looking at trend data across all cohorts, looking across the government, Catholic, and independent sectors. The students attending government schools were far more likely to say that their harassment policies actually articulated sexual orientation or gender diversity as kind of protected named groups. And the same was true looking at prevalence of gender and sexuality diverse support activities or events. Students in government schools were much more likely to say that they had access to these.
I think just general kind of social attitudes and understanding would suggest that we thought this might be an issue that might have been stemmed out since the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, when current students' parents were at school. Was that surprising and disappointing to see that there's still that prevalence there? 90% of these LGBTQIA plus students hearing these slurs on a pretty regular basis?
It's hard to say what's happening in youth cultures. You know, sometimes language is appropriated in different ways. I think the focus should really be on what school-based adults are doing when they hear this kind of language. That, I think, is the much more surprising and disappointing outcome. The survey did not ask kids about, their perceived motivations for why their peers might be using this language. But at the end of the day, that's not really what's important here. It's whether or not they're actually hearing it and what teachers are actually doing to address it that is shown to have relationships to how well they're doing in school, both in terms of their school-based well-being and some of their academic outcomes.
Associate Professor Jacqueline Ullman from Western Sydney University speaking there with Jared Cross.